My heart is fixed on the Lord. And so here in Psalm 112, I'll begin reading here in verse number 1. Psalm 112, verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish." Like I said, verse number 7 there, "My heart is fixed on the Lord." Let's pray. Lord, we do love you, Lord, and we are thankful again to be here, Lord. Thankful again to open your word, and thankful again, Lord, that we can preach your word. And I pray, Lord, you'll use your word to speak to our hearts here today as we seek you and we seek to trust you in all things, Lord. I just pray, Lord, you'll guide, lead, and direct here. I pray you'll fill me with your spirit. I pray you'll use me here today, and I pray you'll speak to everybody's heart here today, Lord. Don't let us leave here the same way that we came in. We'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, every single person, every human being desires and longs to be happy in life. Yet so many people are deceived in understanding what true happiness is and how we can even obtain true happiness. And we know people look for happiness in all different kinds of things, and they look for it in possessions and wealth and fame and in fortunes and pleasures. But the thing with that is, when we seek happiness in worldly things, we soon discover that our satisfaction in those things is only temporary. It doesn't last. It doesn't fulfill us. It's only temporary. And so we spend our lives chasing one empty thing after another in an endless pursuit of true happiness. King Solomon, you heard of him, right? King Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived, and he sought happiness in worldly pleasures. And, you know, he had wealth untold, and he had possessions, and he had power. But you know what's interesting about Solomon is he said that he hated life. In Ecclesiastes 2:17, he says, "Therefore, I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me." And he says this, he says, "For all is vanity and vexation of the spirit." All those things that he worked so hard to acquire, and he did, he obtained it. He obtained everything, worldly possessions that wealth could acquire. He did it. He acquired it. But in the end, he said, the only thing that brings true happiness is to fear God and keep His commandments. He said that in Ecclesiastes 12:13. He says, "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." To fear God. Now, I was reading here in this psalm, and in Psalm 112, it's actually a psalm of praise to the Lord for His blessing on the man that fears the Lord. And so I start to thinking about fearing the Lord, and I look here in Psalm 111, in the very last verse there in Psalm 111, verse 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Right. And so we've heard that. Right. We heard the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where it starts. If we're going to have wisdom, we got to fear the Lord. And then we go right into Psalm 112 in verse number 1. He says, "Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord." But have you ever wondered, what does that mean to fear the Lord? Does it mean to stand and be scared and be afraid and be frightened and our knees are trembling? No, it doesn't mean that. It means to have a reverence. It means to recognize who God is, to recognize the fact that He is a holy, righteous God. And let me tell you this, He is the Creator of all things. We are not the Creator. He created us. Right? We are not above God. God is the Creator. He is above us. But we recognize who God really is. We respect that. We have reverence toward that. And we give Him the authority that is due Him. You see, a person that truly fears the Lord will submit to Him and obey Him in all things. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Right? Which means not just the Ten Commandments, it means all of them. Everything in the book. Right? Everything in the book. But anything less than obedience is not truly fearing in the Lord. And so I'm trying to take that thought of fearing the Lord. And then here in verse 7, he says, you shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. And so the thought is if we have a reverent fear of the Lord, it will cause us to have a fixed heart. And the end result of that would be that we trust Him in all things. So that's what I'm trying to get at here today, that we set our heart right, that we have a reverent fear of who God is, and our heart is set to Him, our heart is fixed on Him. And when we do that, we're going to just trust Him no matter what comes upon us, and we'll be able to stand with Him and trust Him as we go through this life. And so in order to do that, we have to set aside our thoughts. We have to set aside our negative thoughts. We have to set aside our feelings. Okay, we have to set aside what we may have preconceived in our mind about who God is or who Jesus is, and then actually get into the Word of God and see who God really is. Okay, and so those are the thoughts that I'm putting together here in my mind for this message. And so today I'm going to ask you, is your heart fixed on the Lord? Is your heart fixed on the Lord? So let's look at this here today. So number one, what does it mean to have a fixed heart? What does it mean? Right there in verse 7, I'll read it again. He says, He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting the Lord. Now that word fixed there, it means this. It means steadfast. It means unmovable. Okay? It means unshakable. It means established. Okay, it means that our heart is fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. It means that we are content with such things that we have in this life. It means that we are walking in obedience to Him. Now we go in this life, we live in this world, and this world is full of what? Evil tidings, right? He says we're not to be afraid of evil tidings. But now this world is full of evil tidings, isn't it? It's full of wickedness, and it's full of sickness, and it's full of death and murder. And I mean, the list goes on and on and on, okay? But all of these things, those things bring fear, and those things bring turmoil, and those things bring uncertainties in our life. And those things, if we're not having a heart that's fixed on the Lord, is going to cause us to look, to take our eyes off of the Lord and look within. In that case, then we're going to fear these things. We're not truly trusting in the Lord for all things. Because we know the Bible says that we're not to fear. The Bible says we're not to fear. Fear comes from the devil. We're not to fear things in this life. You know, our world, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. But when we truly fear the Lord, we fix our heart on Him, and we trust in the Lord in the good times and in the bad times. Right? God is good in birth, and God is good in death. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. And so the question is my heart fixed on the Lord? Is my heart fixed in trusting the Lord no matter what my circumstances are? Or are you up and down? Right? Today we're good because we are in the Lord's house. But tomorrow, tomorrow's a different story. Tomorrow we'll let the cares of the world into our hearts, and the bombardment of our job or even our daily lives to overtake us. All right? And so then we're not trusting in the Lord in all situations. So how do I do it? Well, it's by faith. Faith gives us the victory. In Romans 10:17, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. You got to get under the Word of God. You got to have the Word of God preached. You got to hear the Word of God preached. You got to study the Word of God. You got to memorize the Word of God. You got to read the Word of God. You got to get the Word of God. If we're going to have faith, we got to have the Word of God. It's the only place it's going to come from. It's not going to come when you leave out of these doors and you go out to your jobs and your lives and everything else. Faith is going to come, it tells us, by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Hey, you want your faith increased? Get more preaching. Get more Bible. Get more of the Word of God. Okay? Ephesians 6:16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Hey, that is our defense. And all those fiery darts that the devil throws at us, all right, that is our defense. What did Jesus do when the devil came to him and tempted him? He used Scripture. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Three times the devil came at him, and three times the Lord Jesus Christ gave him Scripture. He quoted Old Testament Scriptures. We need more of the Word. Now this does not mean that storms are not going to come in our lives. This does not mean that things aren't going to happen in our lives. This does not mean that I've got the faith, right? I've got the Word, I've got the shield of faith. I'm good, right? No, this doesn't mean that things are not going to happen in our lives. They are going to happen. But when troubles come, my heart is fixed on the Lord and I just trust Him. Whatever it may be, I just trust Him. In Psalm 46, well, we're in Psalm. Let's just flip over to Psalm 46 here and look here at verses 1 and 2. Psalm 46, look there in verse 1 and 2. Hey, times are tough, right? We're going through struggles. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength. Do you rely on Him? Right? If there was like a storm and a tornado and a flood and all those things, and they came and they set up like a refuge area, right? That would be a place we could go for help, right? Well, God is our help. God is our refuge. He is our strength. But we got to go to Him, all right? We got to have a walk with Him. We got to go to Him. He says, a very present help in trouble. Hey, He is very present. He's right there. He says, come boldly unto the throne of grace. We have that wide open. We are all a royal priesthood unto God, right? We can come to Him. He is our present help. He says, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. No matter what happens, right? No matter what happens. We are not going to fear because God is our refuge. God is our strength. Jesus Christ is our foundation. If we place our trust and faith in Jesus Christ alone, that is that foundation that we build upon. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. No matter what happens around us, God is our refuge. He is there to help. He is a present help. He tells us to press on, steadfast, unmovable. Doesn't matter what is going on around us, is our heart fixed? Is your heart fixed on trusting the Lord? In our text, a fixed heart does not fear evil tidings. It rests on the assurances and the promises of God's Word. Whether it's death, right? Whether it's sickness, whether it's a tragedy in our life, whatever it is, if our heart is fixed on Him, we have that foundation. We're not going to fear all those things that come upon us. Jesus says, if your house is built on what? The rock. If your house is built on the rock, not the sand, it's going to withstand in the storm, right? It's going to withstand. When that storm comes, the foundation is secure. The Bible says if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You know, I think of Daniel, right? Daniel was a young man, right? Whenever they were taken into captivity. But you know what? Daniel purposed in his heart that he wasn't going to defile himself with the king's meat. You remember that? There in Daniel chapter 1. He had already purposed that in his heart. He had already fixed his heart on trusting the Lord. He had already made that in his mind. He had already settled that with himself and the Lord. He did not let that meat into his body. You know, you say, well, what was wrong with the king's meat? Wasn't it good meat? It may have been, but you know what? It was offered to idols. It was sacrificed to idols, right? And that wasn't going to be anything that they could eat. It's just like that halal meat today. You heard of that? That halal meat? Right? You can get it at Costco and various other places, but it's sacrificed to Allah. Right? It's sacrificed in the name of Allah, so don't buy it. Right? Don't eat it. It's sacrificed to false gods, the halal meat. So my question is your heart fixed? Is your heart fixed on trusting the Lord? Is your heart fixed in faith? Or do you waver in the trials? And I'm thinking of another one. If you turn over to Acts chapter 16. Look over here. I'll give you a couple of verses here in Acts chapter 16. If you remember, Paul and Silas were imprisoned for preaching the word. They were imprisoned in Acts chapter 16 in verses 25 and 26. Right, their hearts were fixed as well on the Lord. No matter what happened, their persecution came upon them. Their heart was fixed that they were going to continue to serve the Lord. In Acts 16, 25, it says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed." Paul and Silas were beaten, and they were put in prison. Now, their prison compared to our prison is two different things, right? Our prisons today were nothing like that. These were brutal places. These were dark dungeons with the rats, no food and any water, and they weren't treated humanely. But they were put in prison, they were beaten, and they were put in chains. And the Bible says that they prayed and they sang praises to God. They weren't in there complaining. They weren't in there having a pity party. They weren't in there saying, "Oh, poor pity me, I'm not doing that again." No, they were praising God. They were worshiping God. Instead of fearing, they just trusted the Lord. They trusted the Lord. Why? Because their hearts were fixed. Hey, are our hearts fixed? Hey, let me give you a second thing here today. I want you to see. All right, so what does it mean? And then secondly, why do I need to have a fixed heart? Why do I need to have my heart fixed on the Lord? If you turn over to Jeremiah 10:10, Jeremiah 10:10, Jeremiah chapter number 10. I'll show you here why we need to have our heart fixed on the Lord. In Jeremiah 10, verse 10, the Bible says this, "But the Lord is the true God." Right there. I'm going to read more, but I could stop right there. Why? Because the Lord is the true God. Right? There are many false gods people have made up in this world, but Jehovah God, the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At His wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide His indignation. Thus shall He say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth. All those false gods are going to perish. In verse 12, He hath made the earth by His power. He hath established the world by His wisdom, and has stretched out the heavens by His discretion. What is my point? My point is the Lord is the true God. My God, He is God. Jehovah God of the Bible is the one true God. All those other false gods, they're going to burn up. They're going to go away. But the one true God, Jehovah God, He is God. And so I need to have my heart fixed on the Lord. Why? Because He is the one true God. Well, let me tell you a little bit about this God. Number one, He is immutable. He is immutable. I-M-M-U-T-A-B-L. Immutable. Immutability, immutable. It means He doesn't change. All right? He does not change. Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Ever. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ doesn't change. God does not change. And the fact that He does not change should give us some comfort and peace, because we read the Bible, we read the accounts of Jesus, you know, and everything that happened 2,000 years ago and even before then. We read all that, and what if it changed? What would we know to believe? We wouldn't, right? But it doesn't change. His Word is as true today as it ever was. God is immutable. He does not change. Hallelujah. We know what to expect out of Him. We know what to expect from His Word. When we get in His Word, when our heart is fixed on His Word, we don't have to worry about, well, did He change His mind today?
Like you and me, you and I, we change our minds all the time. We're up,
we're down.
We're up, we're down. Like a roller coaster. Like the world's tallest, fastest roller coaster, right?
Vroom, vroom, right?
That's our feelings. That's our emotions. That's the flesh. But God does not change. He will never change. He'll never change His mind about salvation. Salvation is and always has been by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, He paid it all on the cross of Calvary, and He only had to die one time, you know? He only died one time. He was risen from the dead one time. He didn't have to continuously keep dying. But immutability also reminds us that God's attitude towards sin does not change. And what we find in the Old Testament as sin is still sin today in the New Testament. You can't divide the two together. What God says is sin, and this is a definition of sin, in case you wonder what sin is. 1 John 3:4 tells us what sin is. He says, "For whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law." Sin is when we break the law. What is the law? The Bible. God's law, God's word. That is the law. Hey, if we break God's law, if we break God's word, if we disagree with God's word and go against it, that's sin. God says do and we don't, that's sin. God says don't and we do, that's sin. Okay, that hasn't changed. None of that has changed. God is immutable. He does not change and He will not change. But you know what else is about God? He is omnipotent. Omnipotent. What does that mean? It means He's all powerful. He's all powerful. He is omnipotent. God is all powerful. He can do all things. Nothing is too hard for him. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, the Bible says, "For with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." All things. Even standing up here and preaching the word is impossible for man, but with God all things are possible. Seeing some people sing songs that's never sang before, it's impossible for men. But with God, it is possible. Right? And just seeing God work in people's life, in man's point of view, in man's vision, those things are impossible. But with God, anything is possible. With God, He spoke and the world came into existence. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He spoke the world into existence. In Psalm 33:8, the Bible says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." Hey, that's that reverence. We're to stand in awe of Him. Why? Because He's the one true God. He is the Jehovah God. He is the one true God who created all things. Colossians 1:16 tells us the same thing. For by Him were all things created, everything. In heaven, in earth, all things were created by Him. You and I are limited in what we can do. We can only do so much. We don't know what's going to happen in the next moment. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We are limited in our abilities. We are limited in our power. We are limited in basically everything. But God is not. God is all powerful. He promised to save all that come to Him. He promised eternal salvation to all who believe. He promised to make us fishers of men. He promised to preserve His word. He promised to answer our prayers. He promised, "I can do all things through Him," Philippians 4:13. Right? He promised all these things, and He has the power to back it up. He's omnipotent. But you know what else? He's omniscient. He's omniscient. God is omniscient. What does that mean? It means that, hey, He knows all things. He knows everything. He knew when I would get saved. He knew when you would get saved. He knows who will not get saved. He knows it all. In 1 John 3:20, the Bible says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." In Psalm 147:5, it says, "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." It is infinite. Right? Words can't explain how omniscient He is. How omnipotent that He is. He knows everything about you and I. He knows our hurts. He knows our sorrows. He knows our desires. He knows our hearts. He knows the sin we're trying to hide from Him. He knows the intentions of our hearts.
In Exodus 3:7, he says, "For I know their sorrows."
I know their sorrows. Talking about the children of Israel there. He knew their sorrows of being in bondage. He knew what they were going through. He felt it. He knew it.
He knew everything about them. Hey, he knows what to pray even when we don't. If you turn over to Romans chapter 8, I'll show you this one. Romans chapter 8.
Look there in verses 26 and 27.
Hey, is your heart fixed on the Lord? Do we trust Him? Why do we need to trust Him? Well, because He's immutable. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. Romans 8, 26, the Bible says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." You see, God has a perfect will for every single one of us.
And He knows what that is. And sometimes He brings those trials and those storms in our life. He brings that chastening hand of God upon us because maybe we're getting out of line. And He needs to straighten us back out and get us on His will. Right? And get us back where we need to be. Right?
But He knows all things. He's omniscient. But you know what else He is? He's omnipresent. He's omnipresent. God is everywhere at the same time, all the time. You cannot. He can be here with us in Macon, Georgia, and He can be all the way on the other side of the world in Europe, in Germany, in Australia. He can be in Alabama and Georgia, you name it. He's omnipresent. It's a wonderful thought to know that He's always with me, isn't it? Isn't it encouraging as we go through this life and these things come upon us? We know if we can fix our heart on Him and we have a promise that He's always with us. We don't have to be discouraged. We don't have to be defeated. We can live a victorious life because in Joshua 1:9 He says, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." He's with us no matter where we go. He is with us. Hebrews 13:5, you know that one. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." He's always with us. But let me bring to mind a thought as well. That is encouraging and uplifting, yes, that He's always with me. But what about when I go somewhere I shouldn't go? He's with me. What about if I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing? He's always with me, right? What if I'm looking at something I shouldn't be looking at? He's looking at it with me. I've brought Him there with me, right? And so that's another thing that we got to think about too. Yes, He's omnipresent. He's always there. He's with us in the good and the bad. And you know what else? Let me give you another one. He is holy. Is our eyes fixed on the Lord because He is holy? In Psalm 99:9, the Bible says, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." Holy means He is free from all sin. It means that He is free from all defilement. It means that He is absolutely pure. He is holy, 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 as is cried out in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 3. The holiness of God is something it's hard to even put our minds up around, of God's holiness. It's such a splendid thing, we can't truly grasp it all. I think when we get to heaven, we'll be able to truly grasp it, the greatness of everything, and seeing Jesus and seeing heaven. But because God is holy, God has a hatred of sin. We need to understand. We talk about God's love, and that's great, yes. But because God's holy, He hates sin. Proverbs 15:9, it says, "The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord." Proverbs 15:26 says that the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. The way of the wicked, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination. The holiness of God, He separates Himself from sinners. Whenever we have sin in our life, that separates us from Him. Isaiah 59:1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Right? That's why we have those other promises in 1 John 1, 7 and 9. Right? If we confess our sins, he's what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we know the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin as well. Right? But God is holy, and also God is love. I can't leave that one out. God is love. We know that his love is everlasting. Look, are you still there in Romans? If you're not, turn back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I want to show you these here verses. These are some very encouraging verses. Some encouraging verses even with eternal security. Or once saved, always saved. God's love does not separate us. In Romans 8:35, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." And get verses 38 and 39. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from" what? "The love of God. The love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, once saved, always saved. The love of God is nothing we can do is going to separate us from his love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hey, is your heart fixed on the Lord? I got one more point here. I want you to get this here. And so I want you to see, how do I fix my heart on God? All right, I'm going to give you five quick things. How do I fix my heart on God? Number one, you got to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord, not in our circumstances. Not in the things around us. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you know those. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." You see, our circumstances change. Life changes. Where we're at in life is constantly changing. But throughout those changes, in order to get my heart fixed on God, I just got to trust him no matter what. Remember, God never changes. He's immutable. Right? Maybe you learned a new word today. Immutable. All right? Number two, you got to stay in God's Word. You got to stay in God's Word. You got to be faithful to reading God's Word. Hey, you should love to read God's Word. It should be a joy to read God's Word. Right? It should be. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We live in a dark world, right? God is going to use his word to speak to us. He is going to speak through us through his word. If we're not in his word, he can't speak to us. All right? I'm not talking about visions and all those other different things. I'm talking about God using his word to speak through us one step at a time. He's going to light that path one step of the way. He's not going to light it way down there. He's going to light it right here first. This door. Next door. One path, one step at a time. Number three, you got to pray without ceasing. If I'm going to fix my heart on God, I got to trust him. I got to read his word. I got to pray without ceasing. I got to pray about everything. I got to pray. And then I got to pray some more. And then we got to pray some more. Prayer is important. Prayer is important. Are you getting it? Philippians 4, 6 and 7, he says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything." You get that? Everything. Everything by prayer and supplication. He says, "Let your requests be made known unto God." You see, prayer is going to align my will with God's will. Right? It's going to align my heart with God's heart. It's going to fix my heart on him. And that's done by doing these things. Trusting him, staying in his word, praying, and then making sure that you surround yourself with other believers.
Surround yourself with faithful believers. What does that mean? That means be faithful to attend church. Right? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Hebrews 25. There's an illustration of a hot fire, right? We've all seen a hot fire, whether it's a bonfire, or even a fireplace, but you got a good hot fire going, right? And you got all them coals in there, and those coals are all really hot, right? But if you were to take one of those coals out and set it to the side, what would happen? That coal would get pretty cold pretty quick, wouldn't it? It'd go out pretty quick, right? That's the illustration of the Christian outside of church. Right? In church, you're with other believers. Let's get away from that. And the last thing here was, we need to just praise the Lord through everything. Praise the Lord through the storms. Praise the Lord through the trials. Turn over to Job chapter 1 as we about to wrap this up here. But Job chapter 1. We know Job went through a lot. All right? Job lost his health, his wealth, his family. He lost 10 kids. And Job went through a lot. He went through everything. And at one point his wife said, curse God and die. And through all of that, what did Job do? Do you remember? He worshiped God. He stayed faithful. He praised the Lord. Right? And that is our example in Job 1:21. The Bible says there, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Right? Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all those things, the Bible said, Job sinned not. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so I ask you, is your heart fixed on the Lord? In those things, in those trials, and like I said this morning, every single one of us are going through something. But as we go through these things, is our heart fixed on the Lord? Are we trusting Him? Can we say like Job at the end of the day that blessed be the name of the Lord? Can we say the Lord gave and the Lord take away? Can we say in all of our trials, I trusted the Lord? Can we say in all of our trials, I stayed true to God's Word? Can we say in all of our trials, I prayed without ceasing? I didn't quit praying. I kept on it. Can we say that we surrounded ourselves with the brethren? Can we say that we praised the Lord through it all? When we do that, when we praise God, it fixes our eyes on His greatness and it takes the focus away from me. Right? We're too me. But when I'm praising the Lord, it takes it off of me and it puts it back on Him. Remember Peter in the storm getting out of the boat? He walked on water when he was looking at Jesus. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he sank. Remember that? And so we go through these same storms. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. We got to keep our heart fixed on the Lord. He is it. He is all we need. He is sufficient. He is our Redeemer. He has paid it all. He's paid the price for salvation on Calvary. He has paid the price for sin. All we have to do is trust Him for everything. Will you trust Him here today? The choice is yours. Let's pray.